Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
It is. And it feels like it's been a really long time.
It does.
Like, I know you went on vacation and everything, and I, you know, didn't. But it feels like, I don't know, like, maybe it's just been a long week.
It has been.
With nothing really happening.
Well, that's the thing, is like, you know, they were both pretty terrible things, but like, we had Roddy last week and Hogan the week before, and both of those happened like right after we recorded.
Right.
So it's kind of been that thing that we've been prepping for leading up to the podcast, and this podcast is like
nothing happened.
Just got the normal stuff. I do want to bring this up real quick.
Okay.
So I was looking at the SummerSlam card so far.
Okay.
Because I was looking, I was like, what do they even have? And then I was like, oh, they have like 8 matches the card. Okay, that's not bad.
They're looking to fill this 4-hour show.
Yeah. So I noticed they have the 3-team elimination match.
Yep.
We'll get to that more in a little bit. But so they have that tag team match. Arrow and Neville are facing Stardust and Kubert. So we have that. Tag team match. We have a Fatal 4-Way Tag Team match. We have...
Fatal 4-Way Tag Team match?
Yeah, for the Tag Team Championship, we have a Fatal 4-Way Tag Team match.
What's the 3-Way? Oh, that's the Divas.
The Divas is 3-Way. We have the Bray Wyatt, Luke Harper versus Dean and Roman tag match.
Right.
And the main event is somebody going one-on-one with The Undertaker.
So your question is, did Teddy Long book... this year's SummerSlam?
A little bit.
God, I knew this is where you were going.
I mean, here's the thing. To be fair, like, I came across this bit preparing to complain about them not prepping properly for SummerSlam. And so
it turns out they have. It's just they're throwing as many people on this show as possible without doing another 30-man over-the-top rope battle royal.
Exactly.
So, probably, yeah. Because, I mean, like, the only singles matches they've got is the championship match, and what are they going to do, a Randy Orton versus Sheamus or something? But they haven't announced that yet.
Probably. I mean, according to what I have here, the Cena and Rollins match is a champion versus champion match with both championships on the line.
Right.
So
it's been a while since we've seen something like that.
It has been a while since we've seen something like that.
But is that the only singles match that's been announced?
Kevin Owen and Cesaro.
They've announced that?
It's on the card.
Oh, fair enough.
I
don't know like what's been
no, I don't
as far
have,
as SmackDown wise.
Yeah, I don't have specific memory of them.
Honestly, I'm actually kind of surprised they even put Kevin Owens on the card. Well, yeah, I guess it makes sense because they're putting what's her? The NXT Women's Champion.
Sasha Banks.
She's gone both cards, too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm not saying they can't pull double duty, but you know how WWE likes to compartmentalize.
Yeah. Somebody, you know, still has the time. They gotta get rid of that title somehow.
True, yeah. Although, I don't know if they're going to have Bayley win. I don't know.
Really?
I don't know.
Really?
Like, Bayley absolutely deserves it at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she stuck around probably longer than anybody there.
Yeah.
You know, and it's kind of overdue. She's got a really solid following. You know, even for, you know, NXT standards.
Yeah.
So... yeah, she deserves it. I don't know. Something about it, just, I'm not sure yet. Now, are we going to, like, next week, whenever we do our predictions, are we going to do predictions for NXT too?
I mean, we haven't for any NXT things before.
I mean, not necessarily count to our year-long thing, but we are still going to go through
We'll still
go through the card and everything.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. We'll go through the NXT card. So
God, that's going to be, there's so much wrestling next weekend.
I know. That's
great.
Just gotta get through this weekend.
Yeah, how to get through? Do you have any plans that weekend that aren't wrestling related?
No, I mean that's like my birthday weekend.
Hey, okay, well your birthday weekend is a wrestling weekend.
I know,
it's a pretty good weekend.
That's the thing. It's like WWE kind of like planned it out for me. I was like, oh, Okay, I guess I'll do that.
I mean, I can bring a cookie cake to at least one of these events.
I mean, do that.
Well, yes. But also because of birthday.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Or, here, how's this? I will get you a entire thing of icing and give it to you. How's
there you
that?
Go.
That there works. You go. There's, that works for you.
I mean, it's cool enough. It's, I mean, I guess it's just really, like, one more event than usual. But, like, it feels like, I guess because they added on the hour.
It's a bigger thing because, A, it's the first full NXT special that's not in Full Sail. They announced that it sold out, so there's going to be 13,000 people for this.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you have the next night, which is, you know, they've added another hour to it. We've got a ginormous rematch that should have been at WrestleMania or should be at a WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a lot of exciting things going on. Like, I honestly, aside from a potential Sheamus versus Randy Orton match, I kind of like almost every match.
Yeah, I do.
You know, so it's one of those things where it's like, I don't know. I'm not saying this is going to be a big shift in the company or whatever, or huge match potential like SummerSlam 2013, where you had Punk and Brock, and then you had Dan Bryan and John Cena.
That was a good SummerSlam.
I rewatched it a couple days ago, and man, is it still incredible.
Yeah.
That still might be the best SummerSlam ever.
That's a good SummerSlam, man.
Yeah.
I think part of it is, and it's just that they kind of continue to solidify that NXT is WWE canon now.
Right.
All this still counts. Mm-hmm. You're allowed to know and remember this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what is the biggest deal for me.
Yeah.
You know, I've always gone out of my way to point out continuity because it's so rare and so few and far between, and
it's very rarely followed up on.
It is, and it seems to me that is the most that is the most undervalued thing
right.
that they have. I think there's so much that they can do. It's so very easy in wrestling, in the genre of storytelling that it is, it's so very easy to reward loyal viewers without alienating
occasional
viewers, yeah. That it bothers me how little it's done, which is why I want to, like, highlight and celebrate when it is done.
Right, yeah.
And so the fact that just you can see NXT and NXT counts, and they talk about their NXT careers on Raw, and NXT rivals bleed over into Raw, you know. Right.
And they actually bring up, like, you know, as their main roster rivalry continues, they actually mention, you know, the origins.
Right, you know, exactly.
It might be like a footnote or whatever, but at least it is somewhat followed up on.
And I mean, I don't think Sasha Banks, especially in the boss character, would ever really work as a face. But it's kind of nice that she's not immediately best friends with all these people she's been feuding with.
Right.
You know.
So they put her on, you know, the team that is kind of in the middle.
Yeah.
You know, the team that doesn't like the bad guys and doesn't like the good guys, you know.
Yeah.
So that, yeah. Yeah, because it would have been, like, super weird. I mean, but then again, honestly, I think it was just the week prior that had the match between Sasha Banks and Charlotte. That was great. It was for the NXT Women's Championship. And at the end, they had a moment. They, you know, they hugged. It's like they were friends all over again. You know, and, you know, obviously signifying that this was the end of their NXT run together as opponents or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So in a way it would have fit, you know, if those two were friendly with each other.
Yeah.
Maybe not the rest of them.
Yeah, but like friendly and like, you know, she's a bad guy. She just is.
Right.
She's so insanely booable.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's the thing, is like you can't bring Charlotte up as a heel. She's Ric Flair's daughter.
Yeah, and I can't remember how NXT pulled it off because she was a heel for a while too.
Yeah, yeah, and then that's the thing is like.
And then it was like, oh right, she's incredibly talented, and it's gonna be really hard to keep her a heel.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of went with it.
So. And that's the thing, is like you can do it by ignoring that she's Ric Flair's daughter.
Right.
Or having her feud with Ric Flair.
Right.
Like, and obviously not actually in the ring, but
with some sort of surrogate wrestler.
But she's Ric Flair's daughter, and
right. And in this day and age, it would be almost impossible for WWE to get fans to believably ignore that.
Yeah.
Then you know that don't already know it. So yeah, I don't know. I really like this whole SummerSlam fire.
It's not a bad build up.
It isn't.
Are you ready to pick a Cena versus Seth champion?
Nope, not yet.
Okay. All right.
Are you ready?
No, I'm not ready.
Okay. All right.
Well, here's the thing. It's like I was.
And honestly, I haven't really like wrapped my mind around like winners and losers just yet.
Yeah.
That's what this next week is for.
I mean, but before this week. I was pretty on the fence if I thought Cena was going to be wrestling.
Right. I mean, but he'd look... I mean, I'm pretty sure they probably, like, just drowned the guy in makeup, but he looked pretty all right on Tough Enough.
Oh, no, he looked really good on Tough Enough.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, fair is fair. He looked ready to go, and, I mean, I don't think he's going to...
Granted, he's super rude and wears a hat indoors, but... so, you know, your view is a little limited.
And I don't think he's going to have a match on the go-home show, like...
No. He's at least going to show up.
Oh, he's absolutely going to show up.
Yeah.
But that's the kind of thing where I don't know where they're going to go, and does the WWE Championship just kind of eat the U.S. Championship like it did the Heavyweight Championship?
Yeah, I'm really hoping it doesn't. I'm hoping that, you know, if Cena... still, if Cena wins,
mm-hmm.
okay, and he's got both, I'm hoping he'll at least put the U.S. Championship still on the line.
Yeah.
You know, and then we can still have that storyline of somebody finally beating him for that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, here's a great ending. And like, because he is now going for the championship, it bothers me all the more that Kevin Owens didn't beat him
right.
that third time.
Yeah.
It just...
Because that means what built him as the believable, quote-unquote, number one contender.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, that rustles my jimmies.
Let's do bring up one thing from Raw.
Okay.
Our presidential favorite bearded man... Bryan Danielson, Bryan, how are you saying? he came back on Raw, had a segment with Miz, and the Ryback came out and made his glorious return. Glad he's healthy. They got the triple threat for SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Technically not a tag team match, but technically also not a singles.
Yes.
Fair enough. There's a point in there after the whole everything kind of breaks down and whatever, and Miz comes back in the ring or whatever, and Daniel Bryan just kind of points at him and looks at the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, all right, he's going to give him a flying knee. And instead it's setting up for Ryback with another meat hook, and I'm like, come on, you guys. Mm-hmm. Can we at least get one knee, just... one indication that, you know, he's really is okay.
Yeah.
Because he's going on this book tour. And when I finished the book, it's a very good book. You know, it's a lot more in-depth and not as censored as I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be like a happy-go-lucky, you know, WWE only focused on the positive stuff kind of book. But no, it's actually Daniel Bryan speaking his mind.
Okay.
But he's been going on this book tour and doing all these interviews, and every single interview is like, what's your medical status? How are you doing? Blah, 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 blah. Or what did you have? Because they WWE is so secretive about it. He's like, yeah, it's a concussion. I've been cleared by my doctor. WWE's, you know, tiptoeing, you know, being very careful with it, which I understand. But it's like, why are they, like, being this careful with him? If he's ready, he feels like he's coming back, or he's ready to come back. His doctor feels he's ready to come back without any limitations.
Yeah. Let me offer this.
Okay.
Daniel Bryan has now, in 2 years, had to retire two different titles that he won at two different WrestleManias.
Right.
Like,
And by that aspect, I understand why WWE is being so timid about this. I get that.
I get it. And it's like, even if I'm not happy about it, I really get it. And
it's like the Dolph Ziggler situation to a whole other level.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, this isn't even... You add that on top of, like, WWE's been fairly notorious in the past for, like, quote-unquote punishing people for getting injured.
Right.
You know, and then you add that in, and this is a situation where I'm like, yeah, I kind of see you wanting to, like, really make sure.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing is, like, I don't exactly 100% know what you would do with Daniel Bryan right now.
I did have an idea this past week.
Okay.
Surprise U.S. Open challenger that beats him.
I mean, that would not be bad.
And that would be a good Survivor Series.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it would be a great WrestleMania, but I don't think WWE's going to go for that.
Yeah.
But that would be a great Survivor Series, a great Royal Rumble,
mm-hmm.
even though I wouldn't have Daniel Bryan on that card unless he was in the actual Rumble. and winning
the Rumble.
Maybe that's what it is. There's like, all right, we're just going to play up this injury thing until after Royal Rumble, get through that, and then we'll talk about what we're going to do for your WrestleMania 32.
Yeah.
Because that's been 2 years where people's expectations of Daniel Bryan has essentially ruined the end of the match.
Yeah.
But, something along those lines, like, come back as a surprise, to really get the crowd juiced up and, you know, make people who would have usually watched the show if Daniel Bryan was on there all of a sudden find out through social media or whatever, hey, he's making a surprise return, stop watching whatever you're watching and click over.
Yeah.
You know?
I kind of feel like I don't want to say Daniel Bryan has lost momentum since WrestleMania 30.
Well, no. Granted, they were in Washington, so he's going to get a little bit more of a pop than he normally in anywhere else. But that's still a super strong pop.
It is a super strong pop. But part of it all is also, like, I don't miss Daniel Bryan as much as I miss Punk. Personal preference.
Yeah.
It's not an either-or situation.
Right.
So it's not like I will gladly give up Brian for Punk, because Punk won't have me.
Right. it's, Punk will take that offer and laugh at you.
Yeah, it's loving somebody who doesn't love me back, and I understand that.
Fair enough.
But the thing is, like, there will be things that happen on the show, or just you watching a general Raw where I'm like, Punk would be really good right now.
Mm-hmm.
Or, that'd be a really good storyline for Punk.
Right.
And I don't feel that way as much about Bryan. I don't notice a hole in the WWE lineup that is Daniel Bryan sized.
Right, and I'm sure if people are listening to this and be like, they would come up with, like, put him in anything, you know?
And part of it is, you could put him in anything and he'd be great. And of course he would. Part of it is, like, he didn't ever lose the WWE Championship.
Same with the Intercontinental Championship.
He's got a claim to both of those titles.
Right.
That whenever you put him back, if you remember the continuity, harken back to that from 10 minutes ago.
Right. But then again, at the same time, the fact that he didn't lose the WWE Championship was the whole reason why he was fighting for that number one contendership at Fastlane? Yeah, against Roman. That enhancement match for Roman.
Yeah, golly, just...
You want to talk about continuity, there you are.
Well done. I had forgotten the match because I was so sure.
It was still a good match. Like, it's not one that I'm going to go back and watch because painful memories.
it was a good match, but, like...
Because I remember watching it, and I was like, there's no way in the world. Because that was the one that was the same night as the Oscars, so you were there. So we were actually at my apartment for once watching it. And I'm sitting there with, like, Neil and I think Beardsley, and I'm just like, they're not going to go with... Yep, they're going to go with Roman. All right.
Roman.
All of our fears are confirmed.
Winning cleanly over Daniel Bryan.
Just...
I just...
And then we went over because you were watching the Oscars over at John's apartment, which is like across the parking lot. So we walked over and caught the very end of it with you guys, and we were like, you're not going to like it.
I just, I don't know. Part of me does want another go-round of WWE versus its own audience.
Well, yeah, because they keep finding ways to fix it. I want one where, like, the ending, like, they just stick to their guns and are like, screw you, and, like, actually get, like, you know, them trying to win the crowd over with what they already had planned eventually.
Yeah.
Or the crowd just being stubborn, which is the obvious, which is obviously what's actually is going to happen in that scenario. And just see how much they just pretend that the crowd loves it. You know, how much are they willing to let Michael Cole lie?
Yeah.
Or excuse me, mostly Jerry Lawler. You know, people chanting for Daniel Bryan.
Let's go Sheamus.
Or no, they're chanting for Ziggler. Ziggler, yeah. It's like, they're cheering for Sheamus out there. And it's like, no.
God, that was
right. No, they're not.
Yeah, so I guess Daniel Bryan might have forgone his shot. But yeah, like, he should be able to
come back and win everything.
Yeah, he should be a legitimate contender.
Yeah.
For pretty much anything.
Well, yeah, and plus he's at that level anyways. Like, you know, as far as fan reaction, you know, mm-hmm. that he's going to come back and just be able to, and believably win any championship.
Yeah, but you, here's the thing: if he has to relinquish another belt.
Yeah.
He'll never win a title again.
No.
He just won. And
which is fine because, you know, Shawn Michaels won one major championship in the entire second half of his run.
Yeah.
When he came back, he won that World Heavyweight Championship at the first ever Elimination Chamber. And I believe that's the only major championship he's won. That's all he won right there. He wasn't like number one contender. He fought a couple championship matches. He never won those matches.
He had some tag team titles.
Tag team titles, yeah, but nothing top tier.
Yeah.
Definitely not the WWE championship.
I totally.
So it's believable, mm-hmm. and it, you know, it depends on the character, obviously, if you can go that long and still have compelling storyline, which I fully believe Daniel Bryan can.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just, part of me would kind of be okay to see Daniel Bryan not be a full-time wrestler.
Yeah. Know? Mm-hmm.
Which I know it would kill him.
Yeah.
Because we know how badly he wants to wrestle everywhere all at the same time. But as a fan, as a guy who wants to continuously see him for years and years and years.
Yeah.
And being meaningful matches for years and years and years in WWE, I would rather see him go that route.
I will happily see him wrestle 6 months a year for the next 10 years versus
sure.
all year round for the next 5 years.
If that.
Yeah.
You know? And we're not saying like I'm not saying he's made out of glass or anything, but these past couple years have not been great.
No. And I think we were
he's not nearly at the point of Christian.
No.
Where the slightest breeze mm-hmm. would take him out of action for 6 months.
Yeah. So, so I want to bring up Tough Enough real quick.
Sure.
But The Miz didn't do anything wrong this time.
He didn't. And honestly, this was probably one of the better episodes.
Yeah.
This past, because, surprise, surprise, it focused on wrestling.
That's
there was no kooky side
nobody,
competition.
Nobody.
No firefighting.
Fire.
I will say this, we put up a video this past week, basically using the audio from last week's podcast where we talked about Tough Enough. I had the most fun making that image with Stone Cold wearing a firefighter hat, and like, you know, it was him using the beer hose,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, Vince and Shane were like, had these flames on them, they were on fire, and he was putting them out. He's a good guy, you guys. And then I had the most fun making that. And then I was coming up with an image for the end of the show, or end of that video. And I just like, you know what? screw it. I just superimposed, very badly, I might add, superimposed a photo of ZZ over Shane McMahon and then put a backwards fire hat on him because he is the best fireman ever. According to Top and Up.
Yeah. I will say...
Go check out our YouTube channel, mm-hmm. Class for Guitar, all one word. Thank you.
I will say, look, watching Tough Talk, ZZ pretty much re-won me over on Tough Talk.
But he's still such an idiot. He's such an idiot. He's an idiot. What?
I mean, I think it is a character to some degree.
No. I don't think it is. I think he's... Because everyone, you know, a lot of people are like, no one's that dumb. Yes, no, he is that dumb.
No, it's character to some degree.
Okay.
This is his third reality show. He knows how to play a reality show character.
He's really that dumb. Just...
No, he's not. He Here's the thing. All the Tough Enough stuff... I mean, part of it is like... Tough Talk is really where I decide... who I like and who I don't like.
Well, yeah, because that's like that is one of the more genuine looks at all these people.
Yeah.
You know?
And ZZ on Tough Talk worked that crowd. He knew what he was saying to get the responses he was saying. He was
which is why we're gonna be stuck with him winning.
He was teasing like catchphrases. Mm-hmm. He was getting into his old folksy storytelling voice.
Hey, see, here's the thing. Like, I can't. I have folksy telling stuff. That's why me. He's an idiot. but yeah, like that's the problem with this episode is like, he actually really didn't do anything wrong this episode, wrestling wise, because he didn't do a whole lot wrestling wise because it was mostly on Josh and their match, whatever.
Yeah.
Sure, ZZ sold and ZZ, you know. Got the crowd going. And, yeah, part of teamwork is knowing when to, you know, have the other guy do most of the work, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's going to be a giant hill to climb for him, and I don't know if he's going to be able to climb that hill.
Here's the thing.
After he wins.
If they are stuck with ZZ, which I'm pretty sure is what will happen, yeah. ZZ's going to be a great Santino character.
Sure.
And you need that on Raw. You do.
Yeah, especially with Santino, you know, I think there was like talk of him possibly coming back and, you know, his neck injury not being as bad as they thought. No. But he's still retired as far as I know.
As far as I know, yeah, I haven't heard anything about him actually coming back. No, but that's... like that, you need that character.
But
that's,
have him come back with Santino as his manager, because you know why not?
That would be great. Like, you know what? Of all the like dumb backstage segments, Santino and ZZ trying to understand each other segment.
It's already written for you.
You can do a lot worse.
They're going to run. I can already see them running that gimmick into the ground.
You can see that gimmick being dumb for 2 weeks, a joke working on the third week. Being really charming for another 2 weeks, getting kind of old for a week, and then being like, you can see the arc.
And then continuing to use it for about 4 years.
You can see the 8-week arc of it being charming and then hating it again.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, I'm more or less hoping that other people get WWE contracts eventually, or sooner rather than later.
I will say, when in the episode when Chris Jericho asked, what's your favorite match? I just went,
because I was looking at Amanda to say it. I was looking at her to say it.
That question has been the death toll of contestants in the past.
Well, one, but yes. I can't even remember what half of them said. Most of them were fairly recent, though.
Yeah.
Like, they, not a whole lot. Like, and it's fine, because we know they're
you
not
You know what, like, fans. Yeah. My favorite match isn't Hogan and Andre either.
Right, and plus I'm pretty sure they would tell them, like, don't say anything with Hulk Hogan, don't say anything with CM Punk, don't say anything with Chris Benoit, and I think that's all that's blacklisted.
Yeah.
Right now? Yeah. Fair enough. Because, you know, me, I would say, you know, have that 3-month run with CM Punk and Daniel Bryan, you know, if I'm coming up with something off the top of my head. It also would have been pandering, but it's true, like, one of my favorites is actually that HBK... Chris Jericho feud.
Yeah.
That Jericho in a YouTube extra They actually had, like, Jericho, like, sitting down with them that night on the WWE Network, and they were, like, he was breaking down for them that ladder match they had with Shawn Michaels. I was like, that should have been in the show. That would have been pretty great.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would love to sit here and listen to Chris Jericho break down that match, and I'm sure that's in his book, and I can read it, whatever. I'm like, I just read a book, so calm down.
Do you think next week the bottom three is going to be all three boys?
Well, yeah, it has to be.
I mean, they have to do
it. Because they've already said that the finals is going to be Amanda and Sarah Lee, which we know is going to, like, there's no way in the world it's going to be, you, like, 95% Sarah Lee.
I'm telling you, it's got to suck. It's got to suck to not be ZZ and Sarah. It's going to be
so anticlimactic. Like, it doesn't matter who you put up against them. I know Tanner definitely doesn't have a chance against ZZ. They've been trying to put Josh over the past 3 weeks. He hasn't been in the bottom three since, so I don't know if that's doing any good. I doubt it's gonna make a dent. You know, it might make things a little bit closer, but I don't know. And it's definitely not, Amanda has no chance.
No.
No. Like, she doesn't have a chance to make it above 10%, I don't feel.
Here's the thing that's...
The girl that got, like, the lowest from, like, 3 weeks ago, should have gone home, is in the finals because freaking Miz. Not saying that Gigi would have had a great chance against Sarah Lee either.
Here's the thing is, like, watching mostly Tanner, a little bit Josh, but mostly Tanner just talk bad about ZZ and yell at ZZ and say, this is why ZZ shouldn't be here. It's a rotation
every week of somebody who
plays there, I'm like, ZZ. Ooh, that's why Mata's not here. Mm-hmm. That's why Patrick's not here.
And if Billy Gunn could get voted off, he would have been voted off too.
Everybody wants to protect Baby Bear ZZ. Stop yelling at him.
But see, maybe that's why Josh has a kind of a chance, because he's been nice to him.
I think
they were Josh partners. They were partners this week, and they worked so well together.
Like, I think that is Josh's saving grace, is he hasn't
been a jerk to ZZ.
Yeah, I think that's why he might make.
If I was in that competition, I would have been gone so quickly, because I would have yelled at him nonstop. Also because I'm, you know, fat, like, can't wrestle, can't cut a promo to save my life.
You would have had plenty of time to yell at him when you were both not going to the gym.
Shut up. Also, yes. You jerk. You wouldn't have either.
No, but I would have watched Beast of the East with Patrick.
Me too. I actually, out of the two of us, I was the one that stayed up and watched that. Also because I couldn't sleep, but that's a different thing.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that. That's... I'm not trying to prove anything to anybody.
But if you're
No. Here's what I'm trying to prove. I'm trying to prove why you should buy the network, because you can watch it anytime.
Oh my god. Oh, that would have been great if somebody had said that on Top It Off.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But they didn't.
No, they didn't, and that's why those people are gone.
Yeah.
I also wish I could have been in the room whenever what's-his-name said, knowledge means nothing.
Knowledge means nothing, man.
Oh, my God. I would have gotten up and applauded his stupid. Just, I would have, that, like, that's all the footage of me there would have been that week. Just me standing up and clapping for that guy.
All the talking heads. Hey, you guys, remember when he said knowledge means nothing?
Right?
It's like, that was 4 weeks ago. I know, but you guys.
He went home 4 weeks ago. I don't care.
Knowledge means nothing, remember?
I would make a poster with that guy's face on it with, in quotations, knowledge means nothing, dash,
whatever his name,
that freaking guy.
Alex?
Sure, I don't know.
Alex with the question mark. And just like, can we get you saying something else? Nope.
Nope.
Not going to get it. If you want to put my face in a talking head, it's going to be, remember that guy?
I know, and like, if we didn't have that... I know Mata probably would have been the one with the dumb quote, because I think he said, like, that Van Prof week, I know he did said something dumb. Can't remember what it was, but it was no knowledge means nothing. But when he said that, I was like, oh, God, don't be that guy. Don't be that guy yet, Mata.
The improv week was rough, because that was when Josh, like,
bad week,
tried to go back to the British voice.
He, and, oh, my God, just, no.
It's almost over.
It's almost over. We have two more weeks.
It's almost over. We can do this.
Because imagine how angry we're going to be at the finale.
I'm okay. I mean,
I mean, not angry, but just like defeated or deflated, maybe.
I'm
like I said, it's going to be anticlimactic because we knew it was going to win weeks ago because of this dumb fan vote thing.
Yeah.
We've got a gauge on just about everybody on how much support they're going to get from the fans.
I will say Juju was higher in percentage this week than she was last week. She went from 19% to 22%.
Who was she in the bottom three against last week?
Don't remember.
Chelsea and Sarah, wasn't it?
Was it Sarah Lee?
Because it was three girls.
Yeah, probably then.
Yeah, because Miz did the switch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds right. So
do you think, because the bottom three are going to be the three guys.
Yeah.
Assuming this is going, this is the last time Daniel Bryan is going to be able to use his save. You think he's just going to use it on somebody?
Maybe, yeah. He this is it. Use it or lose it.
Yeah, so. But I'm like, there's no way to work it to where they would get ZZ off.
I can't get ZZ out.
I would use it on, obviously, Josh.
It would
guarantee Tanner going home.
Yeah.
You know, and even though Daniel Bryan is kind of sticking up for Tanner a lot this season.
Yeah, but I feel like Tanner's going home anyway.
Yeah.
So.
Hopefully WWE doesn't do a thing where it's like they tell Daniel Bryan, take out Tanner, mm-hmm. because we think Josh could beat ZZ. Because that's how we got rid of Mata.
Mm-hmm.
We think. That's a conspiracy theory.
Our conspiracy theory.
And we're not alone in that theory.
Yeah.
You know?
So, somebody asked Hogan on Twitter.
Oh, God.
When he hoped to be back.
Oh, God.
In WWE.
Please tell me, he said, SummerSlam.
He said WrestleMania 32.
Nope. No. That's incorrect. I know you're wanting to talk about it, but I'm just gonna shut this down now.
No.
He's incorrect. That is not what's going to happen.
Here's the thing that
He still thinks he's gonna have another match in WWE, doesn't he?
Yeah, probably.
He is the most delusional racist I've ever known.
No. Let's be fair.
Fair enough.
In the history of racism, he's at least third.
Good point.
Okay, now here's my question. We talked about, there's a very real possibility we will see Hogan in WWE sometime in the future.
5 to 7 years, but yeah.
Yeah. How do you actually bring him back? You don't do it.
Completely ignoring everything.
You don't do it at WrestleMania, though, right? Because those are the fans that remember the most. Those are the fans that will pay lots of money to make signs saying, remember this?
Oh, and saying leading up to it, Hogan's going to come back at WrestleMania, so people have time?
Yeah.
You don't do it like that. You surprise everyone at WrestleMania. If you're going to have him come back at WrestleMania, you just have him show up.
Doesn't that feel awkward? Doesn't that feel...
I mean, he'll get a nice surprise pop.
I don't know if he will.
Well, not now. But I mean, in 10 years, maybe.
Maybe.
I mean, people went nuts for Ultimate Warrior, and, he said some pretty awful stuff.
Yeah.
Granted, it didn't get nearly as much attention as Hogan and his racist crap.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I know if I was part of the company, I would stay pretty firm on no, never.
Yeah.
But that's not me.
Well, I mean, they've already softened a bit. I mean, Hogan was in he's back in the Hall of Fame on the website.
He is?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was in the Roddy Piper video.
He was in the background.
Yeah, but
that's fine. That's fine. That's fine.
It's not Chris Benoit levels anymore.
No.
That was just damage control. That wasn't an actual stance.
Right.
I don't know. People have short memories.
They do, but this was pretty ugly and pretty public.
It was.
You know, as much as they try to control things, and they did about as good a WWE did as about as good a job as they possibly could.
Yeah.
But it was still pretty ugly.
Yeah.
I can't believe you said that.
WrestleMania 32.
But what? Did you just hear what I just said? I can't believe Hulk Hogan said something dumb. Of course. What am I thinking? Of course I can believe he said something that dumb. He said dumber things.
Mark your calendar, WrestleMania 32.
Oh, my God. Oh, man, we need to make, like, we need to eat your hat bet or something, you know, if he actually does show up.
How about I just not do that?
I think it's a pretty – I still feel like it's a pretty solid bet.
I don't want to have to be sad and eat my hat.
Unless they found some way to acknowledge that the guy who said that on that sex tape was a very convincing Hulk Hogan impersonator. And they had, like, without a doubt proof
that was him. They just released a statement. I'm pretty sure it was WCW's Hollywood Hogan. That jerk. That's why WCW failed. Because we have the nice Hulk Hogan.
Oh. What's the guy that's on that was on Mad TV that does impressions of everybody?
Oh, Frank something?
No, not Caliendo. I can't remember.
I don't know.
He was in the Three Stooges.
I don't know.
The reboot.
Yeah, I know.
And he came on Raw, like, back, it was back when they were, like, still at odds with Hogan, and he, like, came in with Hogan's entrance and did an impression, and everyone just booed the crap out of him.
No, I remember that.
Yeah, that guy. What if they were like, no, it was him?
Let's bury this guy's...
Will Sasso, that guy.
Sure.
Yeah.
I believe you.
I mean, if we throw him in, you know, political correctness jail, who's going to miss him? Podcasters around the world will no longer have an impersonationist to make dumb jokes on their podcast.
The Three Stooges too.
Yeah, no, that wasn't going to be a thing. Or at least it better not. But...
You want to do what's making you happy?
Well, okay, before we go into that,
I'm sorry.
I did have a question I want to bring up, because I saw somebody pose this question online, and I thought it would be an interesting subject. Lately, a lot of a particular type of chant has been aimed at Big Show lately. Okay. I know we all know it's the one where everyone's chanting, please retire.
Right.
How do you feel about that? I'll go ahead and just say my personal feelings. I feel like it's disrespectful.
Yeah.
You know, it was kind of funny, like, the first time that they did it. And I think there was a couple times where we kind of, like, laughed it off or rolled with it or whatever. But it's being, like, a regular thing, and I feel like it's kind of disrespectful. And he's not, like, for a very large, older wrestler, I think he's doing pretty good.
Yeah.
You know? Granted, like, you can't blame the guy for terrible angles and he himself not knowing from week to week if he's a heel or a face.
Yeah.
You know, that's not necessarily his fault on all that. But at the same time, he is the one that's on camera trying to do the best he can with whatever they throw at him.
Here's the thing, like,
so he's the face of it.
Yeah, I am usually pretty okay with you chanting your displeasure to an angle.
Sure.
But, like...
And I don't want this to become, like, another three-podcast arc where people are like, oh, we're fans, we can chant whatever we want to, and I'm sitting here saying, like, no, you're an idiot, shut up.
You guys realize you're being mean, right?
Yeah, like, it's...
You're being mean to a person.
We're not saying you can or you can't, but it's just a crappy thing to do.
And, like, yeah, the part of it is, like, I know I'm not thrilled when Big Show's music hits.
Either. Yeah, me neither. No.
He's not, but part of that is like, oh great, Big Show comes out. Part of it is, oh great, they literally, you know, bringing out Big Show just means that they don't have anything else to do.
Right.
It's clear how WWE views Big Show, and that's as much of the problem.
And it's weird because he'll be gone for like months at a time, especially these last couple of years. And yet, when they bring him back, it feels like they overuse him.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, ultimately, Big Show probably should go down as probably the best big man ever. You know? For longevity, for their accomplishments. Mm-hmm. You know, because all other famous big men didn't compete nearly at the level that he has for so long.
Yeah.
And with the frequency.
Yeah.
You know? Like, you know, those big guys were wrestling, like, you know, Madison Square Garden events, like, once a month, maybe a little bit more in other territories or whatever, you know, but definitely not at the frequency as he is, and definitely not with the athleticism that he has.
Right.
He's, like, in this whole other level. So this whole, like, please retire thing just seems... And I feel like he's probably had some, like, character damage from that... So that amount of exposure.
Yeah.
You know? He needs to be more of an attraction that you see, like, almost not quite as a Brock Lesnar because he's just off on his own upper tier.
Right.
But kind of in that same vein, really, like, he's supposed to be this giant, credible threat that that runs through anything in his path, and you use him sparingly. You know?
Here,
because in the end, you end up like Mark Henry, who's now, like, basically jobbing to Big Show.
Right.
You know, when, like, a couple years ago, they had one of their better feuds in the whole Hall of Pain thing, where Mark Henry was an unstoppable force.
Yeah.
And now, a couple years later, sure, they're a little bit older and everything, and Mark Henry's a little bit more injury-prone, but you basically have him lose to Big Show in, like, a few minutes on Raw.
Yeah. Part of it is, the thing, the way I feel you should be using Big Show, you mentioned Brock Lesnar, is the Brock Lesnar that you don't have to shell out the money for,
right,
and is only going to show up, you know, on the big shows.
Right, and no could actually intended. Show up to, like, more interview segments, or at least on Raw.
Right.
Maybe have an occasional match here and there.
But you, I mean, here's the thing. You don't have to give him the title anymore.
No.
But you do it where...
I'm not saying that they've really given him the title.
No, anyway. But that's the thing. Is like, it's very easy to have him play a character who is just in it for the money. This is what he's good at.
Mm-hmm.
He comes in, he decimates a person, and he leaves. He's not interested in gloating.
Right.
You know, and just... it's that's the thing. Is like, it is not hard to rebuild a damaged character. Right now... I think if you're the WWE, you know, this wee little plea on a podcast is not going to turn all the cynics into, oh, we were being mean and we're sorry. As much as I think it should go ahead and go away, the retire chance will probably continue.
Mm-hmm.
I think they should play into that.
Right.
And I think they should, I mean, I think it's pretty easy to build a thing up where, you kind of have the Ric Flair retirement thing where the next match he loses is his retirement match.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't get anybody to retire Big Show.
Right.
Everybody's trying to retire Big Show and they can't do it because he's still a dominant force.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't have an ending to that that isn't Big Show retiring if you don't want that to happen.
Right.
But, you know, it's, yeah, you mean he acknowledged it on the show and...
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing. It's like, you can't find someone to retire me.
Right.
I think that's an easy character to build off of this.
Yeah. And I mean, it's just, you know, I don't want to be the one guy. I don't want to be the guy that's continuously, like, fans are fickle jerks or whatever. But at the same time, you know, those are the same fans that are going to be like, you know, if Big Show ever gets that type of send off where he's giving, like, a heartfelt goodbye speech, like an Edge or whatever. They're going to be those people that were chanting, please retire, are going to be the first ones that's going to say, please, they're going to start chanting, please don't go. Thank you, Big Show. One more match. Over and over again. Because they're fickle jerks. You know?
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, and we've kind of seen that before because how many people flipped whenever we thought Mark Henry was going to retire? Like, he was a bad guy. People booed him. And he comes out, and all of a sudden, people are all on his side and loving him. Rightfully so, because, you know, he's a, again, feel how you want about his career, but longevity-wise, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Sure, he's had to, you know, learn how to wrestle along the way, but
still. We were
still there for all the big moments, and again, Hall of Fame was one of the best runs by any big man, you know, in recent history.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Personally, I think it's crappy, and it's disrespectful and should go away. I'm not saying it will because, you know, majority of them won't listen to this.
No, I'm not saying it will. I think it's organize your chants to the real problem, and Big Show is not the real problem. The writing and the usage of him is the real problem.
It's the same thing where, you know, you look at any wrestling forum or comments on any blog post about wrestling or whatever, you always got that one guy that's like, fire the roster, they're all terrible, you know?
Yeah.
I've tried in the past to argue with that person, and it doesn't work. You know, even though it makes no sense to have that approach,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, your on-air talent can only do so much with a bad script. But we've talked about that. We talk about that so many times during the summer of Netflix. Like, you have this great cast, you know, that's mm-hmm. a really good cast you've assembled, and you can tell that they're really trying with this less than okay script.
Yeah.
You know, because you can only do so much.
Yeah.
So the whole argument over firing all the roster is unreasonable and intellectually dishonest.
Yeah.
So, but that's a whole other thing.
Okay.
So let's talk about what's making this
happy. What's making you happy?
Oh, man. Not a whole lot. Mm-hmm. I'm working half of this weekend. 12-hour shift, hooray.
Mm.
Is it too early to say SummerSlam weekend? that's kind of like the light at the end of my tunnel right now.
Yeah.
I had a okay weekend last weekend. You know, got some editing done. You know, got to post and got some work on some videos that were fun for Class Ring Attire with me and Joel playing video games. Reliving through that and getting to play with that was fun.
Okay.
That sounds like such a lame answer.
Of
course, you've got an answer. You went on vacation.
Yeah, went on vacation. Went on vacation with the family, got to go to the beach. Got to watch Raw with my mom again. Not that she, keeps up with it. But, yeah, there was, you know, a time there where I was living at home watching
Raw.
Your
mom tweets us. It's so awesome.
And mom just, like has, you know, maybe 14% of her attention on the TV doing so many other things.
Right.
But, like, something will catch her attention. And so, like, this was mom getting to see, like, Sheamus's new hairdo for the first time.
Oh, wow.
And just so many things. Like, yeah.
We need to have her on the podcast. And I know she's listening because she actually listens to our podcast, which is so rad. Seeing as how my mom has never clicked. My mom probably still doesn't know what a podcast is. It's like the radio, right? Like, I get that a lot. Mm-hmm. So yeah, now we need to have Mrs. Leonard on here.
You set that up.
I mean, we also need to have, like, you know, a podcast where it's me, you, and Heather.
Yeah, you set that up.
This is your apartment with your studio and your wife. Don't make me try to book you and your wife, okay? Don't make me do that.
I think it's time for the mail sack.
There is no mail sack. Oh yeah, there is. I took that back.
I know what I'm about.
Mail sack, mail sack. Why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack. Let's all go inside. Mail sack, mail sack. Why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack. It's your
mail. All right. This comes from @EvilJackalopes. He retweeted a tweet from Virgil where he said, "Virgil says, in case you forgot, I have a better record than the Undertaker at WrestleMania, and Evil Jackalopes accompanied that with should." Number of wins outweigh your winning percentage. Because Virgil has, like, what, one WrestleMania match that he won?
I think so. Maybe.
So, technically, you know, undefeated, he's 100% at WrestleMania, whereas Undertaker is
22-1. Yes.
And so, that, you know, leads us to the question of, is winning percentage more important than the number? And to my answer is... No. Because it's still 22 freaking wins at WrestleMania. You can't Sure, okay. You're 100% at WrestleMania. Congratulations, you had one WrestleMania match. Who cares?
Right.
You know? Like, even RVD, he's like, what, 6-0?
He's 4-0.
4-0. Even then,
I'm he has the highest undefeated streak.
Out of everybody left.
Mm-hmm. No, percentage counts for more, if for no other reason than celebrity matches.
Okay.
I mean, there are so many celebrities with a 1-0 WrestleMania record. Or
so you're saying they have a better record than The Undertaker?
Yeah.
Snooki has a better record at WrestleMania than The Undertaker.
Yeah.
Percentage wise.
Yes. Yes.
I think you're full of crap.
What?
I think you're full of crap.
We're arguing the same side.
What are you talking about? You're saying that you can. I swore I heard that you say that percentage. I'm sorry. This is also 1 o'clock in the morning, so we very well could be arguing against each other on the same side.
Yeah, I'm not arguing against you. You're arguing against yourself now.
So we're both agreeing that
The Undertaker has a better legacy than Snooki.
And okay.
And by proximity, Virgil. Yes.
I need to go to bed.
Yes, you do.
Chris is tired.
It's like, that's not even a question. I mean, you start to, you know, fiddle with things like, okay, John Cena and Shawn Michaels, who has a better WrestleMania record? And you can, like, argue stuff there. I mean, Undertaker clearly has the best WrestleMania legacy in existence. I don't think anybody else has 22 victories at WrestleMania.
So basically, we can both agree that Virgil's an idiot.
I mean,
amongst other things.
You gotta tweet something.
Okay, well, he tweets literally everything that comes to his mind.
Yeah, that's what Twitter's for.
All about that Olive Garden. And that blank money.
I mean, and so, like, you know, it's not a real question, because, these people have better WrestleManias than those people.
I honestly thought you were just arguing against me to be a jerk. I'm so sorry. I apologize to everyone listening to this. I'm going to go to bed.
Okay. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at Sierra Tire. We live tweet all Mondays and appropriate Sundays.
If you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, if you disagree with whatever I had to say about fans chaining whatever they want, send those over to our email. That's classofringattire@gmail.com.
We're also on iTunes. Easiest and best way to follow the podcast. You can find us there. You can subscribe, write a review, or give us a rating of
5 stars.
That kind of stuff really helps out the podcast, that interaction.
And if you're listening to us on insidepulse.com/wrestling, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
Don't forget, we're also on Facebook. Easy way to follow us. Easy way to keep up with Chris, me, and our what's going on.
Yep.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.